Good day. We are so delighted to be able to be here today, and we welcome any and all listeners to the program. This is Let the Bible Speak. It is a program where you ask the questions about some Bible topic or some question you might have about the Scriptures or God or Jesus or the Church or salvation. And we go to the Bible. We try to find the answers in the Scriptures. Now, it may be a question that, boy, we have to go and study about that. We hadn't even considered that, and we will do that. And sometimes we can do it, you know, sometime during this 90-minute show, and sometimes we may have to get back in touch with you next Lord's Day. But we are committed to finding an answer in the Scriptures for your question. The reason why we do that is because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I know that there are many of you out there listening who know exactly what that verse says. And so that verse has an application. And that application is whatever I do, whatever I teach, whatever I practice, I have to be able to find a verse in the Bible that approves of that. Jesus told the disciples, the apostles in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so he has all of the authority, and so we need to be able to find in a book, in a chapter, in a verse, what he says about what we ought to be able to do. There are two ways that you can participate in the program today. One is you can call directly here to the station. We have an operator standing by who will take your question and bring it in to us, and that number is 308-9564, 308-9564. And then you can also text us your question, and that number is 725-9283, 725-9283. And those questions will be brought into us, and we will, again, take that question, go to the Scriptures, and find the answer. So we really hope you participate with us today and make this a interesting and profitable and edifying 90 minutes as we go and see what the Bible says about your questions.
Again, we are live, 308-9564. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. If you want to call and have your question written down and brought into us, you have the option, if you would like, to ask your question live over the air. If so, it's only two things that we ask from you. One is that you would allow us to know your name so that we can be polite and converse with you by name. And also, the second thing we ask is that you would please turn your radio down when you do ask your question over the air, so that this way there will not be any kind of confusing echo that is associated with that, and that happens sometimes. So those are only two things that we ask if you would like to ask your question live over the airwaves, and we would appreciate that. However, you don't have to. You can just call in and have your question written down and brought into us. And once again, that number is 843, area code 843-308-9564, 308-9564. And we have the text line available at 725-9283. 725-9283. I want to also make mention of our website. Our website, www.biblealone.com. That's BIBLEALONE, BibleAlone.com. On that, we have multiple things on there. There's a section with the archives of old radio broadcasts that you can download and go listen to. There is a place, a button where you can click to live stream this radio broadcast. Therefore, there are people that you know outside of this listening area, they can still listen to the broadcast live streaming by clicking that link. So you can let them know that if there's anyone that you know that would be interested in listening to the program and who may be out of the listening area and listening range. And also on there, we have a lot of studies of, popularly asked questions, frequently asked questions on there, subject topics who may be a little bit kind of a deeper level, and we don't have enough time to thoroughly go over them on the radio airwaves. So we have those Bible studies on there also. We have also a link to sign up for our Bible correspondence course, which is a Bible study through the mail that we offer you to be able to take advantage of that and study the Scriptures at your own pace, at your own time, whichever works best for you, whether it be in the morning or at night or sometime during the day. You know, just it, whatever can help you consistently study God's word to be able to apply it to your life. That's why we're here. We are only here to help you get to know God better, to serve God better. That is our mission. That is our goal. That is our focus, our purpose, and our aim, to help you get to know God better. And that course is absolutely free. You don't have to pay anything for it. It's not a bait and switch. It never has cost anything. And by the grace of God, it never will cost anything. You know, the Lord allows the flock of believers where we are gathered together at to be able to take care of all the financial costs and expenses that come along with the radio broadcast as well as the Bible correspondence course. So you don't have to worry about us asking for money. The Lord blesses us, and we don't need, we don't ask for it, and we don't need it. We just want to give you the riches that are contained in God's word. The only thing in this world that will last eternally. Everything else in this world is temporary. This, God's word, and our relationship with God is the only thing that is eternal. And we want to help you learn how it can be eternal, because there may be a point, if we are not living right, that we will get to judgment day and we may hear something we don't want to hear. So our goal is to help you hear the truth so you can obey the truth. 308-9564, 308-9564, please take advantage of us. Use us. We're here to help you get to know God's word better, and we will let the Bible speak. Steve?
Yes, we have our first question, and it's a question that is an important question. It's a question that is very common and typical of today and of even Jesus' day. And this question has to do with marriage, and the question is it okay to marry again if my wife cheats on me and we divorce? Can I marry again after she cheats? Well, there are two passages we want to look at. One's in Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 through 32. And Jesus, of course, is asked, well, in this case, not asked a question, but he says that about divorce and remarriage. Matthew 5, 31, Jesus says, "Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." Now, that is a quotation somewhat of a passage in the book of Deuteronomy. And then Jesus' response to that statement, and again, the inference is left that all you have to do to divorce someone is just give them, you know, the divorce papers. But Jesus responds in verse 32, "But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except spiritual immorality or fornication or cheating," as the question asks, "causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery." So if you marry someone, then as Jesus later on says in Matthew 19, and let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 19, because that is the second passage we want to look at. And there again, Jesus is asked by the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to divorce your wife for any reason?" That's in verse 3. And his response is, "Have you not read," this is verse 4, Matthew 19, "have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So then they are no longer two, but one flesh." And notice what he says here. "Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." And then they come back with another question, which the Jews oftentimes did. "Why then did Moses command to give the certificate of divorce and put her away?" And he said to them, "Well, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses said that, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." That's verse 8. And then verse 9, Jesus says, and notice how he begins this verse, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her is divorced commits adultery." So the exception, the rule is, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. The exception is sexual immorality. So in the case of the question, if your mate cheats on you, then the Lord allows you to divorce and marry someone else. That is not a command per se. It is a permission that he gives us. And the Bible also talks about the importance of forgiveness. Can you work it out? Can your mate repent and recommit to her love for you? Then in that case, that's a good scenario. Saves a lot of problems and challenges. It speaks to spiritual maturity, to be able to forgive and to repent and those kinds of things. And so it's possible for that marriage yet to be saved. If it cannot be, if there's no repentance on the part of the person who cheats and the Lord says, you can divorce and marry another. So we appreciate so much that question. Isn't it wonderful that the Bible addresses those exact situations? And the Bible does that in a lot of ways. Sometimes the exact situation we're in, and sometimes with principles that we can use and wisely determine what our response ought to be. So it is an interesting and challenging and enlightening thing to search the Scriptures to know what they say. And that is the thing that we're trying to do. That is the way in which we're trying to encourage our audience. And that is the encouragement we get from the Scriptures. We've heard us talk about Acts 7:17, verse 11, that even when the Apostle Paul preached, the people who listened to the apostle, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether or not those things were so. And so what we want you to do is, as we listen to these questions, as we go to the Scriptures, we want you to turn to those passages as well. We want you to be able to see that that's what the Bible says, because it's not us, it's not our imagination, it's not our wisdom, but it is the wisdom and the power of God. And that's who we're all going to stand in front of and be judged by. So let's get it right now. Let's get the teaching right now. Let's apply that teaching right now. We're going to a break, and while we're at that break, you can still call in with your questions. And this break is going to be encouraging you about that Bible correspondence course that Chuck talked about just a little bit ago. So listen to this encouragement, and we will see you on the other side of the break. Thank you so much for continuing to listen to our program and to hopefully be a part of it. You can be a part of it by calling 308-9564. That's the line here at the radio station. You can also text us at 725-9283. And we always hope that you are, as you're listening to the program, even though you may not call in a question or text one in, that you are participating with us nonetheless as you listen to the questions and as you follow along as we go to the Scriptures and read the answer to those questions. And so that would be a wonderful thing and a blessing to you, as we would want to know what the Bible says about anything. And as we've just heard about the Bible correspondence course, we hope you take advantage of that as well. It is such a good way to begin your study of the Scriptures or to be reminded of things maybe you knew at one time, maybe you have forgotten, and also to hear things that maybe you haven't heard before because you've been protected from, not protected really, but you've been shielded from the whole counsel of God. And so when Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders, he said, I shunned not to declare to you the whole counsel of God. It's important that we get all of what the Bible says. And so some churches, that what makes different churches different is they emphasize and teach different things and exclude others. And so it's important that we get the whole message. And so, again, participate with us. 308-9564 is the line here at the radio station. 725-9283 is our text line. Chuck?
Yeah, we have a caller sending in this question that says, I'm trying to get straight with God, and I keep getting attacked. So, specifically, there's literally hundreds of scriptures I could give to you. concerning this, but I'll give you a few that just some personal favorites, but kind of straightforward. There's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 20. Now, you use the word attacked, and usually people mean physically. I guess that's kind of personal. I kind of think about physically attacked. I'm going to assume that that's probably not necessarily the case. You're not getting physically attacked. Hopefully I'm not too far off on that, but either way it goes, there's 1 Peter chapter 2, where it says in verse 20, what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, if you take it patiently? So he's saying, what good is it if you are beaten for something you do wrong? And then he says, but when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ suffered, leaving us an example of which we should follow in his steps. The example that Christ left us is to suffer for doing good. That's the example. So if you're trying to get your life right with God and you're getting spiritually attacked and it's not helping, well, then that is good. That's what's supposed to be happening. If you're trying to live godly and things aren't going wrong, then there's a possibility you may not be living as godly as you think you are. And the reason why I can say that with certainty is because of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 reads, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's a promise. He's telling you what will result from happening with you wanting to live godly in Christ Jesus. He says you will suffer persecution. It's not an if, it's not a maybe, it's a when. It's going to happen. And so when that does happen, you have to remember what James tells us. The Holy Spirit tells us through James in chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. I'm not going to read the whole context, but verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect or complete work, that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. And so we have to get our faith tested. If your faith isn't being tested, you're not going to grow. And God wants us to grow. Matter of fact, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, he tells us, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So God expects us to grow in our relationship with him. And then one last passage to consider is James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, he gives us a progression of events. First, submit to God. Second, resist the devil. And as a result of that, he will flee from you. Now, it doesn't say he's not going to come back. He's going to come back. But rinse, wash, and repeat. Do the same thing. When he comes back, you do the same thing. You submit to God, you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Jesus showed that in Matthew chapter 4, where three different times he gave Satan the word of God. Satan came back, but Jesus continued to go to the word of God for strength. And then at the third time, the last time, it said Satan left him and waited for a more opportune time or another opportunity. So he was going to come back, but we stick to our guns. We do the same thing over and over again, which is serve God, go back to his word. All three times in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus responded to Satan, it is written, it is written, it is written. So it was about God's word. Go back to God's word and get your strength from God's word. So I know I threw a lot of that at you right then, but I'll get a quick recap. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 24. It was 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Then it was James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. And also chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. And then I alluded to Matthew chapter 4 and also Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, going into chapter 6 and verse 12. So I alluded to a lot, gave you a lot. But like I said, all the scriptures are given to help you with this. So hopefully that's been helpful to your caller, as well as anyone else. And most of us should be going through that same thing. 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Good answers, Chuck. And I was looking at Luke 4, and if you hadn't mentioned it, I was going to bring it up that he came back to a more opportune time. And I got to looking at Jesus' responses, and those three responses are some foundational things there, right? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's a foundational thing, right? And then it says, get behind me, Satan. This is verse 8. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. That's kind of a foundational thing. And then the last one, he says, it has been said you should not tempt the Lord your God. You know, those three things are pretty basic to a lot of different situations. And if that becomes our focus, if that becomes the thing that we begin our stand on, then those things will serve us very, very well in overcoming these attacks. And also is some encouragement that Jesus was attacked, and so should we expect any less? So appreciate that answer very much. Okay. Again, if you want to participate in the program, give us a call, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak. Now, interestingly, I just handed this question. What about the verse that says, Satan, get behind me? Do we have the authority to say that? So, Chuck, we might have time to just kind of bounce that around a little bit. And that's what Jesus said. Well, actually, he said it to Peter, mm-hmm. right? And so we have a similar thing addressed, and that passage in James that you said is kind of like that, right? You know, resist the devil. Yeah.
Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Exactly. And what Jesus is saying here, this is verse 8 in Luke 4, get behind me, Satan. You know, he said that also here to Satan,
mm-hmm.
and he said it to Peter. And it might be good for us to look at that one in Peter. That's in Matthew 16, I believe. And so if we go to Matthew 16, we'll look at, see the context of that passage and maybe get a better understanding of whether or not we can say, get behind me, Satan. So in that passage, you were there already?
Yeah, Matthew 16, it's verses 21 through 23. And here Jesus is alluding to them and telling his disciples that he is going to be killed. He's going to be they're going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer many things and he's going to be killed, but he will rise again the third day. And Peter, you know, Peter has a natural human response. If one of your closest friends in the world tells you that, hey, we're going to go here and I'm going to get killed, you're probably going to want to be like, hey, no, that's not going to happen. So Peter has a natural human response, and he says in verse 22, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. And Jesus, he turned to him and said, get behind me, Satan. And I'm sure it wasn't a get behind me, Satan. It was a probably get behind me, Satan. It was probably kind of forceful. He says, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And so we fall into that same thing and a lot as far as temptation and struggles. We will follow after the physical things and we will ignore the spiritual things. And that's, I'm not going to get too much into the events of this last week, but through the things that have happened in the events of the world, specifically in our area in the last week or so, there's a lot of things that we can get so caught up in the things of this world, physical issues and divisions and problems, we can ignore the spiritual lessons that we should be able to find in all this. No matter what happens in the world, what laws are passed and what happens in tragedies and all this, you, if you are a disciple of Christ, if you are a follower of Christ, you are to serve the Lord. That's not going to stop you. Nothing should stop you from serving the Lord and being and submitting to the Lord. So when the enemy is attacking you in these different aspects of your life, yeah, you can say, get behind. You can say, get behind me, Satan. You want to submit to God. You want to resist the devil because his job is to get you to fall. And your job is to reach out to Christ and follow Christ. Because if you're following Christ, you will go away from Satan. But Christ is nowhere close to Satan. And so we should definitely follow in his footsteps.
And I appreciate those comments, Chuck. And when you think about rebuking the works of darkness, which we're told to do, expose them, then Satan is, of course, the originator of those things. And so by extension, we have the authority, the command even, to rebuke those things. And you think about 1 John 4 and verse 4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Mm-hmm. We have power and strength within us that is greater than that of Satan. And when Jesus gives us the example of confronting temptation with Scripture. I mean, that's the way he rebuked Satan, and that's the way we can as well. So we appreciate so much the good question. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there going, oh, man, I'm glad that question was asked, because now I can, with some authority, be able to get Satan off my back. And so we appreciate that so much. We're going to our second break. We will be talking about the Bible Correspondence Course again. And so we want you to listen carefully and see if there's something in there that can help you grow in grace and knowledge. We are so glad to have you back after the break, and hope that that encouragement to take the Bible Correspondence Course was very thought-provoking of you, and you're thinking, oh, man, maybe I need to do that. And that would be a great thing for you to do. And so we trust and hope that and pray that you are seeking the truth. You are seeking God's Word, and so you will take advantage of this opportunity to begin that search in a more diligent way than maybe you have in the past. If you would like to give us a question here at the radio, you can call us at 308-9564. We have a live operator standing by who will write down your question. And if you could have that question prepared so that you can give it to him quickly over the phone, because we have two lines, and so oftentimes we have several people waiting in line to get their question on the air. You can also text us. That's a good way of doing it, too, 725-9283. And you can participate in this live call-in program, Let the Bible Speak. And also have that number, 553-5157, ready to dial and sign up for that Bible Correspondence Course, and you can begin this week to mine the treasures in God's Word, not interfered with by what a man might say, not interfered with the restrictions of a church's doctrine or creed, but simply read straight from God's Word what He says. What a refreshing thing to be able to be unencumbered and unhindered and unblinded by the restrictions of man's teaching and his wisdom. Open yourself up to God's wisdom, and you can find that in the Word of God. So participate with us today. Participate by listening and giving us your questions. Chuck?
We have a caller asking, does God give grace for people to keep on sinning? Why do some people sin and they say it's God's grace, or they say they are saved by God's grace? Well, there's a couple of different aspects to this. First of all, we are saved by God's grace because the grace of God allowed his son's blood, his son's sacrificial blood, to cleanse our sins. God does not have to let the blood of Jesus Christ save our sins. He does not have to. It's his grace that allows that to happen. And so we are definitely, yes, saved by grace. However, that's not the only thing we're saved by. We're saved by the grace of God that allowed our faith, our obedient to faith, to save us. And so when we say obedient faith, we look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, especially concerning the questioner saying, you know, does God give grace that we keep on sinning? Well, Romans 6 says, shall we continue? What shall we say? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, Paul, the Holy Spirit uses Paul to write to the church in Romans, caller. This is the exact same question you're asking. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid, or certainly not, is depending upon your translation. He says, God forbid, or certainly not. So there's the answer to your question. No, God doesn't give his grace just to let us keep sinning. No, that's not what he gives us his grace for. And then he goes on to say, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know, as many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And you can go on to read really the rest of this chapter, Romans chapter 6. Read the whole thing and you'll be able to get a stronger understanding of that context of how we're supposed to be living this new life. He goes in verse 7, he who has died has been freed from sin. And then he says, verse 11, likewise, you also reckon yourself, consider yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Don't let sin just make you obey it. He says you are not supposed to let sin cause you to continue to stumble. So we have to be able to put the emphasis on us and our obedience to God, our showing our love to God through obedience. There's also to consider Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 through 10 that talks about we're saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. So God, Christ work in him for good works to show the love of Christ through how we live. Our whole life should look like that. Our whole life should look like love. It should look like Christ. And when you get over to 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 9, he puts it kind of straightforward. And here's the difference. He talks about, you know, you're not supposed to sin and live in sin. And then verse 7, he says, little children. And once again, this is 1 John 3, 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. So this context is included in understanding the difference between practicing righteousness and practicing sinfulness or lawlessness. And by practicing, it means what are you, what's your priority? What's your focus? What are you trying to do? Are you consistently trying to live righteously? Are you consistently living and trying to live sinfully? So it's not talking about sinning just as you're perfect and you'll never sin, but it's talking about living in sin. You're not going to be living in sin, not going to be going after or seeking after sin. You're going to be going after and seeking after the righteousness of God. So that's the difference that's talked about there in that context of 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. He talks about living in sin and living in righteousness. So once again, that was Romans chapter 6. You can read the whole thing. That will help you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, and 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. And that hopefully that's been helpful to you. 308-9-564 is the number to reach us here at the station. 308-9564, or we have the text line at 725-9283.
Thank you, Chuck. We have a question here concerning two verses, both in 1 Timothy chapter 3, And one has to do with qualifications of an elder, and the other has to do with qualifications of a deacon. And both of those qualifications have something in common. And so let's go to 1 Timothy 3 and verse 3, and reading from the New King James, very similar to the King James, and any good translation has the same kind of contrast here. So in verse 3 it says that a elder, a bishop, is not to be given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. So that's not given to wine. Then in verse 8, it says of the deacon, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, and et cetera, it goes on. But those are the two pertinent verses. So the question is that, one, explain both, and explain why it tells the deacons not to drink wine. Well, it tells the deacons not to be given to much wine. And again, that's the contrast here. He should be not given to much wine, where the elder is not to be given to wine. Well, that word given, and again, it might be helpful for us to dig a little bit deeper in these passages to try to understand what indeed is the distinction. Well, it seems on the surface that one is said not to be given to wine at all, and the other can be given to some wine, not to be given to much wine. And so this word given is a good place to start to help us to understand maybe what this is talking about. Some translations talk about the idea of drunken here, or not given to wine, is things that are pertaining to wine. One who can be influenced by wine, and particularly the elder, should not be influenced by wine. He should not be doing things that are having anything to do with wine because of the clouding of his judgment in matters that pertain to the souls of people. Other passages in the New Testament say that elder's job is to, a bishop's job, an overseer's job, is to look out for the souls of others. It is to help people with their spiritual problems. And so his mind must be unclouded by the influence of alcohol. And when you think about the deacon, he is not to be given to much wine. And that word given is sometimes translated by the word addicted. And he is not to bring near, he is not to hold to, he is not to give heed or have anything to do with wine as well. And, of course, much wine. So don't be addicted to much wine. And so it's oftentimes been a question of mine about what is the difference between what the elder can do and what the deacon can do. And it's good to keep in mind as we think about the elders' responsibility towards the oversight of other spiritual needs, that obviously he needs to be clear in his thinking. And the deacon evidently can have some interaction with wine, but as before we go too far in this and too fast, let us remember that when the Bible uses the word wine, it not talking about this highly fortified, highly alcoholic wines that we have today, but wines that were more or less the juice of the grape that can have a bit of fermentation as time goes on, but it is not the same thing as we have today. And so as to why one can and one can't has a lot to do with the vast responsibility that an elder has over someone who is not. And so hopefully that was helpful. More study needs to be given on to that so that we, again, don't leave the impression that, well, if I'm a deacon, then I can get a little tipsy. No, that's not the idea at all. And so we need to make sure that we're comparing apples to apples and not saying that, yeah, okay, the deacon can be tipsy and the elder can't. that is an unwarranted conclusion from this. And so appreciate that question. Again, that's a question that needs more attention and time than we might have on this program as far as the practice of that. So be cautious, tread cautiously as you seek to apply those things to your own life. We're up on another break. Another opportunity to hear about this Bible correspondence course, to be influenced by God's pure and simple gospel, to not be blinded by the world or those who would be teaching something different from the gospel. You know, the Bible warns against that. And if it warns against it, then that tells me that that situation exists. Well, how do you know if you're hearing the true gospel? Well, if you take this Bible correspondence course, you can hear God speaking as it directs you through a study of the scriptures. And we invite you to listen to this. And
we are back live. Once again, we really do want to let you know that we appreciate you joining us this afternoon, taking the time out and listening to the program. And we encourage you, we continue to encourage you, if you haven't already, sign up for the Bible correspondence course. It is such a great tool. And I'm not biased, but because I never actually took it myself.
Shame on you, Chuck.
But what I've been told time and time again, and what I've seen time and time again, is just people knowing and understanding things that they had not heard before contained in God's word. And it's book, chapter, verse. I mean, it's just straightforward. It is there waiting on you to find it out. And so, you know, the Bible correspondence course is so good because it is something you can do at your leisure. You know, one of the biggest problems that people allow to stop them in their walk with God and in studying God's word is that, oh, well, I can't make it to Bible study at my church because of this or because of that. Well, with the Bible correspondence course, you don't have that same excuse. You can pick it up when you want to. You can put it down when you want to. It is designed for you to use to your best abilities. Study in the morning, study at night, study on your lunch break. Study it whenever. Whenever is best for you so you can be attentive and you can spend that time. Study it 5 minutes at a time. Study it 2 hours at a time. Doesn't matter. It is whatever makes you more comfortable and whatever is going to help you the most. That's what the Bible correspondence course is designed to do. That's why it's been able to help hundreds of people throughout these, 7 to 8 years where this broadcast has been on the air. It is designed to help you get to know God better with no kind of, you know, biases concerning other teachings and denominations or other religions. There's none of that. It is book, chapter, verse, God's word. I mean, that's just some kind of simple. And once again, it's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you nothing. The only thing it'll cost you is the price of the stamp, putting it in the mail. That's it. But we send it to you. You get the first one, and we want to be able to help you. If you want to have a Let the Bible Speak session in your own home and have someone come to study with you or a group of people come to study with you, by all means, call 553-5157. And when the answer machine gives you the opportunity, you leave your information on there and you say, hey, I want to have a Bible study. I want to have a Let the Bible Speak in my home, or I want to set one up. I want you guys to come and help me and my family or my friends to get to know God's word better. And we would be absolutely delighted to do so. So please take us up on that. That is why we're here. It's what we're trying to do. We want to help you. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, and we encourage you to do so. 308-9564 to call us, or the text line is 725-9283. 725-9283 to text in your question if you want to.
We have a text question and asking an interesting question. Is it for outside people to continue to point out people weakest to keep others from learning the truth? Can you give some scripture to help? Now, we were reviewing this question during the break and trying to figure out the direction of the question, and we're going to assume that what this is addressing is people who are outside religious organizations, the church, not believers, to pick on people who are struggling in their walk in Christ and maybe not being as successful as they would like to be, the weak Christians, so that they can discourage other people from learning the truth. That is, they would say, well, look at that sorry person, that hypocrite. You don't want to be like that. He's not genuine. God is not real, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that indeed happens. Well, first thing to be prepared for when we become a Christian is that there are going to be people who we have left the practices of the world, and they're not going to like that because what we represent is a standard of judgment. They may never read the Bible, but they can see the Bible being enacted. So, 1 Peter chapter 4, that's exactly what Peter kind of warns us against. He says in verse 2 that we no longer should live the rest of our time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, and this is the crucial passage, they think, that is, those outside, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. And so people will kind of jump on those who are trying to live apart from the world. Now, sometimes, you know, and it doesn't take much to find people who are struggling with this new life. I mean, old habits and patterns are difficult to break, and sometimes we have maybe seemingly more failures than we've got successes. And you know what? That is so much the response or the typical expression of even the apostles. You know, in Luke chapter 22, when Jesus told about Peter denying him, well, would you have thought that would have happened? And would you have thought, how would people who were not Christians, how would they respond to what Peter did? Would they call Peter a hypocrite? And would they be discouraged from following Jesus because of what Peter did? In Luke 22, verse 31, Jesus told Simon, he said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." Now, Satan's going to do that. And when he gets a victory over us, then, you know, we're going to look bad. We're going to look weak. We're going to look like a hypocrite. But then Jesus goes on to say, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." So it's important for us to appreciate that, yes, people who are weak are struggling. And it is rather unfair. It is judgmental. Remember, isn't it kind of ironic? People of the world say, "You judge not that you be not judged." But, boy, they just jump on us with both feet when we struggle with some certain thing. So that's exactly the way the world is. We should expect nothing less or better. Okay. And so when we think about that, they're being judgmental. They're being unfair. They're being hypercritical. And we just need to remember what Jesus told Peter. "When you are strengthened, then feed my brethren." So we hope that will encourage you and help you. And don't give people of the world too much credence. And pray for those who are being attacked and jumped on and judged. Help them and encourage them to turn to the Lord, to be strengthened by Him, to overcome sin. We are either hypocrites or we're just forgiven. And there's a big difference between a hypocrite and one who is struggling to do what is right. And don't let people mess with your mind concerning that, but stick faithful to the Lord, and He will give you His instruction and grace and power to overcome. If you'd like to participate with us on the air, 308-9564 is the call here, the telephone line at the station, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have we have this question from the book of Genesis here, and they're asking about chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, "Were these people on the earth during the time of Cain and Abel? When it says someone will kill him, talk about chapter 4 and verse 14. So specifically, this is after Cain has killed Abel, and he is getting judgment. He's getting punished for doing so, and how he will have to be he will be cursed. And it says in verse 14, "Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." That's what Cain said. And then verse 15, "The Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him." So what that says here is Cain, he's fearing some group of people who are, you know, in a different part of the land that he is at. And so in his punishment of being being kicked out of where he was at, he's worried about these other people who may hurt him. And so the questioner is asking, you know, basically where these people come from. Well, it would have to be a safe assumption. And so I can't go to a verse of scripture and say definitively here is where God says he created these other people. But what we do know is that God created the heavens and earth. We have two different accounts of the creation, how Adam was the first man and Eve was the first woman. So there's two thought processes that you may have. One, God created other people who just like Adam and Eve, however, he put them in a different land, or these were just the children that Adam and Eve had over 900 years of their life. We know in Genesis that Adam lived, I believe, 930 years. And so how many kids could you have in 930 years? You know, there's people who have kids every other year or every 2 years or every year, you know. So there's two different thought processes on it. I can't let the Bible speak one way or another on it. It's either God created other people and had them in another land, or they were just the kids of Adam and Eve that they had over 900 years. So it's one or the other. I do not know. And, you know, we're only going to let the Bible speak where it speaks, and we'll be silent where the Bible is silent. So sorry about that, but hopefully that's been helpful to you. Don't want to go beyond or transgress anything. 308-9564, 308-9564. We are going to another break. Just about a little bit less than 30 minutes in the program. So we got this break and then another one, and we will be ending the program. And so please go ahead, call in your question, 308-9564, 308-9564.
Thank you so much for joining with us again and continuing with the program. It may be that you have just joined us. You just got home from whatever activity you were involved in today, and we're so delighted that you join us with this radio program, Let the Bible Speak. You can participate by giving us a question to look in the scriptures for the answer. The voice line is 308-9564, and the text line is 725-9283. You can send in your question either way that you prefer. And as we have just heard, another encouragement to you to take a Bible correspondence course that you can see and read the pure and simple gospel of Christ, uninhibited, unhindered, through the eyes of man or through the teachings of men. And so we encourage you to participate in that program as well by sending in your name and address, and then we'll sign you up for the course. In fact, we have someone that's going to help you, encourage you a little bit more to consider that course, and we'll hear from him right now.
Yeah, Steve, I appreciate that. I am actually a product of that course. I know the first time I listened to this program, I guess it was around the third time that I heard that commercial that says, free Bible course, and I'm thinking, yeah, sure, free, one of those bait and switch. I know how this thing worked, but it was something inside of me that said, go ahead and order the course, because they did say it was free. And I tell you what, it was the most enlightening thing that I've done ever, because it has to do with my salvation. And the course itself is very interesting. It's very simple. It was something I could work on in my free time. You know, I'm one who like to stay up late at night when the house is quiet, and it was just prime time for me to do the course. And as fast as the guys would send it out to me, I would fill out the course, send it back to them. They would grade it and send me the next course. And I tell you what, it was very rewarding to learn all these things. As long as I've been on the earth and studied the Bible, there was a ton of things that course brought out to me that I didn't know. And I was very happy to find that information in the Bible. Things that are going to make the difference in going up or down, heaven or hell. It's very important that we know these things now, because after we take that last breath, it's the last opportunity to get it right. So I encourage everyone. The program says it's free. It is free. There's no charge for it. It's something you can do in your own free time, and you will learn. You will receive the treasures in God's words. So I encourage all of you out there to take advantage of this course. Again, it's something you can work in your free time, and at the end of the course, you'll get a nice certificate of completion. So go ahead and sign up for that course. 553-5157, 553-5157, and we will let you put your information in there and get the course out to you this week.
Okay, appreciate that, Laren. And, of course, there's no greater encouragement to do something than from the person who has actually done it and benefited from it. So appreciate your letting us know about that. One of the questions we have, a text question, is what is the Septuagint, and is it a valid reference source? Well, the Septuagint, very simply, is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. So it's the Old Testament, which is written in Hebrew, and the Greeks took and translated that into Greek. So it's, in essence, the same thing as the Hebrew Old Testament. Well, we have it in English. And so you've got the Septuagint, which is the Greek version. Then you've got the English version, which is the English version, which is our Bibles today. So it is a good source if you can know, if you can read Greek, and I can't, and that's why it's so neat to have an English version of the Bible. So hopefully that was helpful to you as well. It's also an interesting note that the New Testament writers more typically, more often than not, quoted the Greek version of the Old Testament, because everyone spoke Greek. Very few people spoke Hebrew. And so a lot of people would, all the writers of the New Testament would be quoting the Greek version of the Old Testament. So hopefully that was helpful to you, and we appreciate so much of that question. And so if you've got a question, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck?
We have a caller asking a question on Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7. They're asking to please explain you know, what the timing would be for this situation. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, it says, starting in verse 5, it says, "And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on that land lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets." Well, it seems like this is just talking about the end of time, where God is going to usher in the new heaven and the new earth. And he says specifically this timing where this angel, and I'm not going to get too deep into the actual, you know, kind of physical aspects of what the verses are saying, because you have to be really careful with the book of Revelation, simply because it is written in sign language. These things were written to us, and they were given as a vision. And so the description of these things may not be as literal. We shouldn't take them as literal as they seem, but they're more illustrative for us to be able to kind of understand. So that's always the caution that you should approach the book of Revelation with. However, the context, it doesn't necessarily change the context. The context is still talking about the end of time. We can figure out who he's talking about in verse 6, because he says, him who lives forever created the heaven, the earth, and the sea, all the things in it. Well, that's God, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. That's clear. And then it talks about in verse 7, it says when he's about to sound, you know, this the sounding, he says the mystery of God will be finished. As he declared to his servants and the prophets. Well, yeah, throughout all time, God has been telling us there's going to be a day when he's going to judge the earth, where, you know, this, all these things are going to end. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 14 talks about that. All the elements in the earth and in creation are going to be burned up, and all these things are going to be dissolved. So, yeah, God's told us time and time again that this earth that we currently know is not the all end all. One day there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. He says in which righteousness dwells. There is going to be a new heaven and new earth after God ends this time that we have here. So that's what this context is talking about. And so it's important not to get too caught up in the literal sense of it, but understanding the overall context of what the verse is talking about. Hopefully that's been helpful to you, Colin, as well as anyone else who may have had that question. Once again, we approach the book of Revelation with caution in concerning those things. 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
And it's interesting in this passage, if you follow it down through, that the angel was going to sound some things and had this little book, and then John was told to eat the book. And so that was going to be kind of kept for a while and not revealed at that particular point. He goes on to say that when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. So this thing that the little book the angel had, John was to eat it, and then at some point it would be revealed later on. So that's an interesting aspect of that as well. We are so encouraged by your questions, by your participation in the program today. Grateful for the time that you have taken to spend with us for this time to read your scriptures as you are, as indicated by your questions. And we hope we can be of some help and service in that, an encouragement. Bible study is a growth process. To understand any body of information, there has to take time to learn those things. And you need to begin somewhere, and one of the ways to begin is very foundational, the 2+2 kind of things. If you've ever studied algebra or geometry or calculus, first day of class, you don't rush to the last chapter to see how it ends. You know, you have to begin with the very first chapter, step by step, understanding what the topic is all about, little by little, so that you can go and mature and come to a greater understanding. And that is true about the book of Revelation. That's true about certain passages of the Bible, that as you grow in your knowledge and understanding, you can have a greater ability to know those difficult things. And so if we get too far ahead of ourselves, if we rush to the end, then we miss all of the building blocks that help us understand the more difficult things. So one way you can do that is you can enroll in this Bible correspondence course, some very fundamental, very basic things that a lot of people just kind of skip over. They assume that they know what salvation is. They assume that all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, or something along those lines, just be sprinkled as a baby and I'm good. And so oftentimes we just skip over the basic things. And so let's not do that when it comes to our soul. Let's go step by step, and this introductory course of this Bible correspondence course will help you do just that. And so please give a listen and think about this course and call 553-5157 and enroll today.
You are back live. Last call for your questions. This is the last segment for your questions. We will be on for just about 10 more minutes. So please go ahead and call in. If you've been listening to the program, if you haven't been listening to the program, if you can hear my voice right now, call 308-9564. The phone operator's shaking his head at me. He's like, no, don't do that, Chuck. I'm like, yes. Call in your questions. 308-9564. 308-9564. If it pertains to life and godliness, heaven, how to live right, you know, how to deal with that coworker that's getting on your nerves, you know, how can you get to that family member, you know, whatever the case may be, something where you need godly counsel. You want to know what the creator of the universe tells you to do, please go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. We are here to help you. Our goal, our mission, our purpose, our aim is to help you learn more about God and to help you get to heaven. And we want to be able to do whatever we can to show you what God's word says and to encourage you to submit to God, submit to his word. You got to learn it and know it first. You can't submit to something that you don't know about. So we are doing our job to help you learn it and know it, and so you can apply it to your life. So that is our desire. That is our goal. And so we want you to take advantage of it. Once again, this is the last segment. We got about 9 minutes or less left in the program. You can call in your questions at 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can send a text question in right quick. We've only had a couple of text questions so far. 725-9283 is a text line to text in your question, 725-9283. And we will let the Bible speak.
We have been encouraging you about this Bible correspondence course throughout the program, and we take occasion to do that every Sunday because of the vast importance of that. You know, the thing that frees us is the Word of God. Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I think there was somebody who asked the question last week about make or set free, which is the right passage concerning that, and various translations will use either term. Either it'll set you free or make you free. Not a whole lot of difference between those two things. And so, but the essence is the truth will do that. And so, what was indicated in Scripture is that we can be held captive. We can be blinded, and even the phrase that's used in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that when we turn to the Lord, then we can see, and so that would be a very, very important thing for us to do. So we've got two more questions, at least, on base, and so we're going to begin with this first one. What was Mary and Joseph's original name for Jesus when he was born? Well, let's go to the Gospel of Matthew, and in that Gospel we have the angel speaking to Joseph, who was the husband of Mary. And so when the angel came to Joseph, he encouraged him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, because she was conceived of by the Holy Spirit. And then he says in verse 21 of Matthew 1, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. And then it is quoted as a prophecy from the Old Testament. It says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So those were two of the names that were used to identify Jesus. And as far as the original name, I would be hard-pressed to say which one was the most original. I guess I would say the name that was prophesied, the God with us, and the name Emmanuel, but the name Jesus is the name that we see referred to most often in the Scripture. So I hope that would have was of some help to you. Again, we've got about a little more than 5 minutes left. 308-9564 is the call line, or you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck?
We have a caller asking if the shooting a week or so ago, if that was God's will. Well, I'm going to respond the same way Jesus probably would have responded. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, his disciples came to him with the hot topic of the day and the tragedy of the day. Verse 1 of Luke 13 says, "There were present at that season some who told Jesus, about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish.'" Verse 4 says, "Or those 18 of whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." When Jesus was posed with the hot topics of the day, he always drove them for a spiritual lesson. And so I have no choice but to do the same thing. All that matters in this life is your commitment to God. And so tragedies will happen in this world. This is a lost and dying world. I'm not going to say it's God's will or those people were wrong or right or whoever the case may be. But what happens? How do you respond to tragedy, whether you're involved in it or not? The situation that happened, maybe the young man who pulled the trigger, maybe he gives his life to Christ and he becomes a testimony of how great God is. Will you be upset because he took the lives of those people? Well, see, once again, the whole purpose, the whole matter of everything comes back down to you and your relationship with God. Are you going to let these other situations, whether it be the Confederate flag or gay marriage or this terrible shooting, are you going to let these situations interrupt you getting closer to God? That's what matters. Your relationship with God. Are you committed to learning God's word and applying it to your life? That's what matters. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. So there's a lot of evil shown and recognized out in the open. Is that evil any different than your evil done not in the open? Once again, all that matters is your relationship with God and how these things may affect your relationship with God. Are you going to let it? Or are you going to keep learning God's word and applying it to your life? That's what matters.
I just got a text from a person who said that there's been a weather bulletin, so people just kind of missed the last couple of minutes of the program. So let me just update real quickly my question, then Chuck, if you want to close out with readdressing yours. One question was, what was the original name of Jesus? Well, we read Matthew 1, where both Jesus and Emmanuel was given. And in Luke's account, we didn't read Luke's account, but in Luke's account, it talked about the angel coming to Mary and said, you should call his name Jesus. So which was the original name? Well, probably the one Emmanuel, meaning God with us, that was a subject of prophecy. So for those who did not hear the answer to that question and the person who sent it in particularly, we want you to be able to aware of that. And Chuck's had to do with?
Yeah, that a caller had asked if the shooting a couple weeks here ago in Charleston, if that was God's will. And the response was just Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, and how God allowed Jesus allow the situation, the hot topics of the day. He didn't allow that. He didn't get sucked into that. He always turned the lesson to be spiritual. And so, you know, my feeble attempt was to do the same thing is to help you understand that despite all the evil in the world, it should not affect you and your relationship with God. And so, you know, however the situations happen with all those other things, God can allow negativity and terrible things. It can still be used to somehow show his love. And you know, those people, there are some of the relatives of the victims of the families, they were talking about forgiveness and love. Now
that
doesn't glorify God, I don't know what does.
Amen.
And the unity that a lot of groups showed, getting together and singing and praying, that glorifies God. And so, you know, once again, I'm not going to say whether it was the Lord's will or not, but He can use any situation for His will. And so, once again, the most important thing is you and your relationship with God. Are you going to let these tragedies or anything else in the world stop you from getting closer to know God, learning His word and submitting to His word, to committing it to your life and living and applying it to your life daily? That is the most important thing. And once again, we closed out with Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. And we must let the Bible